Hello, I'm Sky Matsuhashi, founder of SmartPokerStudy.com, the place for poker players who are always striving to be better today than they were yesterday. Poker people, make sure you visit YouTube to watch episode 68, the third part of my hand reading lab series. And halfway through the episode, the video portion kicks in, and I show you how to use Flopzilla to range your opponent through the streets. Hey, poker people, I am so appreciative that you found the show and you're taking the time to share it with your friends, because that's how we grow. And we've truly been growing, you know, getting more episode downloads every week, more people joining the Facebook group, more weekly boost signups, and more Patreon support. So thank y'all very much for doing that voodoo that you do so well. Alrighty, so after 2 weeks, we're finally diving back into hand reading. Today's pod is the fourth in an 8 podcast series, all dedicated to strategy topics that Splitsuit puts forth in his incredible course called The Hand Reading Lab. And the reason for the series is to expose all of you to the importance of hand reading and to give you insights into how you can do it successfully. If you want to learn more about The Hand Reading Lab, and I really recommend that you do, visit splitsuit.com/HRL for more information, and stay tuned to the end of the podcast for a special deal that Splitsuit and I are offering all of you who purchase the Hand Reading Lab with my special offer code SMART. So within the Hand Reading Lab, there's a few different exercises, and one of them is the pre-flop ranges exercise. It's 6 pages long with 4 questions per page, and it's all geared toward developing your pre-flop ranges under different situations. So today we'll be exploring our own pre-flop ranges with some of these questions, specifically calling ranges, and how we can use the information we gain from this exploration to strengthen our game. Alrighty, so let's get to it. Make sure to hit the show notes for today's episode at www.smartpokerstudy.com/pod72 for everything I discussed today and to sign up for the weekly boost. Now here it is, today's podcast mission. So my mission for today is to show you how important it is to explore your own preflop ranges and how you can go about doing so by yourself away from the tables. Take the time right now to answer these questions for yourself before we get to the meat of today's podcast. Question 1. Why would exploring my own preflop calling ranges improve my poker skills? And question 2. How can I explore my preflop calling ranges on my own? So the first question, why would exploring my own preflop calling ranges improve my poker skills? Up until today, all the hand reading stuff I've discussed has been geared towards understanding your opponent's play and ranging them through the streets. But there's another important aspect to hand reading, and that is understanding our own preflop ranges. We're going to work on that today through a very important part of Splitsuit's hand reading lab, the preflop exercises. So 8 videos into the course, Splitsuit introduces these preflop exercises as a kind of exploration in your own preflop ranges. The exercises are 6 pages long with 4 questions per page. And they give you very specific scenarios, like a tight aggressive under the gun player opens, it folds to you in the cutoff, what range do you call with? Your job is to consider the scenario and enter in the exact range of cards you're calling with, as well as the percentage form that the range equates to. And the percentage form we, of course, talked about back in episode 66. So go ahead and listen to that if you're not too familiar with percentage form. And Splitsuit says that if you are experienced with these types of exercises, it might take you 10 to 15 minutes to complete all 6 pages. But that, I guarantee that was not the case for me. It took a good 2.5 hours or so for me to complete. You know, I put a ton of time, a ton of thought, a ton of Flopzilla work into it. It might have actually been a little bit longer than the 2.5 hours, but that was time really well spent, and I learned a lot from it. So the questions in this powerful exercise, they opened my eyes to many things that I never really thought about before, and I believe this has made me a better hand reader and a better player. By doing these exercises, I found mostly spots where my ranges were just way too tight for calling, for 3-betting, and for opening. You know, I'm naturally kind of a nitty player, and these exercises really opened my eyes to this fact, and now I'm actively trying to be more active and aggressive at the tables. So, to get back to the mission question, question, which was, why would exploring my own preflop calling ranges improve my skills? When someone just tells you that your ranges are too wide or too tight, it's really easy to just nod your head and say, okay, gotcha. And, you know, you can do that without internalizing it or using that info to improve your game. But it's another thing entirely when, you know, through self-directed study, you find these areas of weaknesses on your own, because you'll be more likely now to make any necessary changes to your game. I mean, you're already in the right mindset of wanting to improve your game. Now that you've found these leaks or these weaknesses, you're going to do something about it. And it's kind of like anything in life. The things you earn or do for yourself are far more valuable than things given to you. So, for example, you're going to be much more satisfied and respectful of that PlayStation 4 that you earned by mowing lawns all summer than the one your parents gave you for your birthday. And you'll also find much more satisfaction in a $12,000 car that you paid for with your tournament winnings than the one that you bought with that that inheritance that you received from, you know, dead Uncle Larry, that kind of thing. So when you go through these exercises for the first time, they make you think critically about what hands you'd play given specific opponents, positions, and even the number of opponents yet to act. This critical thought will inform your pre-flop hand choices and will make you a much stronger player. So let's go through two exercise questions with my own real answers, and we'll see what I learned from them. So this scenario for these two spots is, we're at a $1, $2 no limit hold'em cash game with 100 big blind stacks for everyone. So it's a very cut and dry, simple situation. Cash game, full stacks, $1, $2 table. So for the scenario, we are in the cutoff and the action is folded to me. And the question is, what range do you open raise with? Well, you know, this is kind of a really simple, you know, what do you open with when it's folded to you? So I have a 26% opening range and it's deuces or better, ace deuce suited. So every suited ace, ace eight off or better, king nine suited or better, king 10 off or better, queen 9 suited or better, 6-5 suited or better, 7-5 suited or better. So all those suited connectors and suited gappers, 6-5 and 7-5 or better. And also queen 10 off and jack 10 off. So you can actually go to this to the show notes to see a screenshot of this. But just imagine it's all pocket pairs, all suited aces, all broadways, ace 8 or better, and then 6-5 suited and 7-5 suited or better. And the suited nines, king nine, queen nine better, of course. Yep. So that's my 26% range. If nobody opens ahead of me, the action is folded to me in the cutoff. So it's a very standard range, you know. A lot of weaker hands, I'm just going for, you know, try to steal the blinds or take position from the button and the blinds call, that kind of thing. So the second scenario here is, I'm in the cutoff, and what do I raise with after two limpers comes in? So initially, when I first did this, my raising range after two limpers coming in was sevens or better, ace nine suited, ace 10 off or better, king 10 suited, king jack off or better, queen 10 suited or better, queen jack off, and 10-9 suited or better. So you can see a screenshot of this in the show notes, because just me rattling off hands like this can be kind of difficult to visualize. So go to the show notes. And once again, that was smartpokerstudy.com/pod72. So that range that I just mentioned, sevens or better, most broadways right there, ace 9 suited, 10-9 suited, and ace 10 off, is 13.6%. So, you know, after I answered these two questions and I looked at the ranges side by side, I realized that this is a big frequency issue. You know, I'm opening the cutoff 26%, but I'm raising over two limpers a tiny 13.6%. I've cut off half of my range there. At least my raising range cut off half of it just because a couple guys limp ahead of me, you know? And sure, I'm limping behind with lots of the weaker stuff in my range, so I'm probably playing almost the same 26% range, but why am I letting two limpers cause me to tighten up my raising range? I often preach, and I think I've said this a few times on the podcast, but I often preach that you should treat limpers like the weak hands and the weak players that they are. So I decided to address this frequency issue and keep my cutoff raising over limpers range exactly the same as my cutoff opening range. I'm just going to make it 3 big blinds plus 1 for each limper. So my open here will be to 5 BBs instead of to 3 because of the 2 limpers. And here are the reasons why. I've got actually 6 reasons why. The first one, if it was good enough to open in the cutoff, either for value or to steal the blinds, it's still good enough to raise over these weak limpers. The second reason is opening here likely takes position away from the button, who will be less likely to call the bigger bet sizing, 5 big blinds here. The third reason, the bigger bet sizing will likely get the blinds to fold, so I'm isolating the 2 limpers, And the fourth reason, my most likely callers are the 2 limpers, and I've got position on them, of course, which is great. And if one of the limpers decides to limp 3-bet, I can easily ditch many of my dominated hands like the weaker aces and the broadways. And the reason for this is we all know that a limp 3-bet from early position often means aces or kings. And the last reason is being the preflop aggressor makes it more likely that my bluff c-bet on the flop will work to get them off of their hands. So those are 6 reasons really to keep my raising range exactly the same over limpers. Alright, so before I get to exploring your own pre-flop ranges, let me tell you about one way you can support me and this show. You can now find me on Patreon. What's Patreon, you ask? Great question, buddy. It's a website where you can support an artist for the content that they create. So instead of Kickstarter, where you support one project, you're actually supporting the artist for everything that they do. And by supporting me on Patreon, you'll keep me up and running and you can get some exclusive poker strategy content that I won't deliver anywhere else. There are different levels of support, and with each level comes different rewards. I've also got a few monthly goals set up, and with each goal hit, I'll be providing you with some more poker strategy. So please visit www.patreon.com/smartpokerstudy for more details on supporting me through Patreon. And of course, I have a shout out for John Prenn. He just threw me some monthly support through Patreon. This titan of the tourney scene, this fiendish felt fighter, chose to throw some of his bankroll my way in support of the show and the help I've provided him. Thank you so much, John. It's dudes like you that keep me a rockin'. Alrighty, so to get back to the poker scenario here, the second question in the mission was how can I explore my preflop calling ranges on my own? Because this is something that a lot of you have maybe never thought of. You think about your opening ranges, you think about your 3-betting ranges, but maybe you don't think about your calling ranges. So you might be saying in that noggin of yours right now, Sky, why are we thinking about calling ranges? Why not raising and 3-betting ranges? Let's get aggressive! Well, if that is what you're thinking, I love it. Let me tell you, I'm all about getting more aggressive in my own game. And if you're on that same trajectory, good on you, mate. But I learned a lot from these preflop exercises. And one of those things was that I don't consider my preflop calling ranges often enough. With how aggressive today's games are, we often face a raise when we're in the middle positions and in the later positions. And when you're facing a raise, you now have the option of calling, 3-betting, or folding. These spots are so common that we've got to dedicate some time off the tables to study these. And of course, when you're considering calling ranges, you've got to consider 3-betting ranges at the same time. So don't worry, we're still working on our aggression here when we're thinking about calling ranges. So let me ask you a question from the preflop exercises in the handwriting lab. So here's the scenario and the question. We've got 100 big blinds. A spewy player opens from the hijack. We're in the cutoff. What range do we call with? So take a quick second to answer this for yourself. We're in the cutoff. Spewy hijack opens. What do we call with? Okay, so let me work through my own answer with you here. As already discussed, I have a 26% opening range in the cutoff. Now, I won't be playing this entire range versus a raise, but it's a perfect place to start the analysis for this situation. So once again, that 26% range is, and you can go to the show notes to see that, is all pocket pairs, all suited aces, ace 8 off or better, all broadways, 6-5 suited or better, 7-5 suited or better, and King-9 suited and Queen-9 suited. So a couple of suited nines there too. And I work through things like this in Flopzilla. So if you open up Flopzilla right now and input that range I just talked about, you can work with me or just look through the show notes, you know. The first step I do when I'm considering calling ranges is I want to remove the hands that I'm going to 3-bet with. And of course, you always want a 3-bet with value and some bluffs thrown in. You don't want to be strictly a value 3-better, or else your 3-betting is going to be 3 or 4%. And everyone knows, hey, when this guy 3-bets, he has a killer hand, I'm just going to ditch, you know. If you can show up sometimes with the, you know, King-9 suited or the 7-5 suited, stuff like that, you're going to be far less predictable. So the 3-betting hands that I'm thinking about here versus this spewy opener is 10s or better, Ace Jack suited or better, and Ace Queen off or better, you know, and that's all for value. I'd also throw in some non-premium hands as semi-bluffs, and those could be Ace 7 suited, Ace 6 suited, 10-8 suited, 7-5 suited, and 6-5 suited. So the suited aces are thrown in as bluffs because my ace makes it less likely that he has an ace, so he's more likely to fold to my 3-bet. And the suited connectors are in there because if they get called, they can flop pretty well. So my 3-betting here is a range of 6.5% or 86 combos of hands. And you can see a screenshot of this in the show notes. So that's my 3-betting, 6.5%, which is pretty good, I think. You know, I'm on the button there. My 3-betting can most of the time elicit folds, and I pick up, the open raise along with the blinds. Great. And, you know, a good portion of the time, it'll just result in some calls, not so often some 4-bets. So it'll result in some calls, and I have position on the likely callers. And so now let's think about, after considering the 3-betting hands, let's look at my folding ranges here. And the reason why we're going to be folding, of course, is because we don't want to call with too many hands, because when you call, you kind of elicit, or you're asking for aggressive players behind you to go ahead and throw out a squeeze, and you'll just be wasting 3 big blinds, you know? So you're not calling with too many hands. And in this instance, I'm ditching the offsuit broadways and anything less than ace jack off. And I'm also ditching ace 8 suited through ace 10 suited because they can be dominated. He might be a spewy player, but they can be dominated by a lot of his aces and pocket pairs that he has, you know? And I'm also losing most of my suited weaker broadways that I could be dominated, even though he's spewy, and I'm losing most of the suited gappers. So you can see, you know, if you look at the show notes, I ditched a lot of hands. And my calling hands, of course, after removing the 3-betting hands and the folding hands, this leaves me with a range of 7.25% or 96 combos. So just go to the show notes to see what it looks like. But I'm calling with deuces through nines, 7-6 suited through King-Queen suited, King-Jack suited, and Ace-Deuce suited through Ace-5 suited. So you can see really that, you know, the ace deuce and the ace five suited, those are due to straight and the flush possibilities. The 7-6 suited through the king queen suited, well, I'm calling with those suited connectors because they flop really well. They can flop really well. And so I want to see flops with those. And the king jack suited is a good suited gapper, but I ditched all the other suited gappers in this instance here. So in total, I am playing 13.75% or 182 combos of hands in the cutoff versus a hijack open. And it's almost 50-50, that range. It's almost 50-50 between 3-bets and calling hands. So it's going to be really hard for my opponents to predict what I'm playing. And, you know, that sounds pretty good to me overall because I definitely want to tighten up when I'm facing a raise. And so I'm losing half of my cutoff opening hands as well. You know, I was opening 26%. I'm only playing 13.75, about half or so. And so now that you've seen how I figure out my calling and 3-betting ranges when I'm facing action, you can follow these exact same steps to determine your own calling and 3-betting ranges. I'd like to see you do this by position. So the middle positions, and you can group this into one range, you know, just anything in the middle position. This is what you're calling and 3-betting with. Also, I want to see you develop these by the cutoff or with the cutoff, the button, the small blind, and the big blind. Also, do this considering a lag opener, as I just discussed. You know, lag is loose, aggressive, a spewy player. I also want to see you think about a standard winning tight aggressive player and a loose, passive, fishy player. With these three player types in five positions to consider, you've actually got 15 different calling and three betting ranges to think about here. And that's why, you know, this exercise, when I did, it took me 2.5 hours. There's a lot to consider as you're going through all of this kind of stuff. And it will take a lot of work on your part, but I know that these exercises will benefit your game as you consider different hand strengths versus ranges and the player types that you're up against. Challenge! Here's my challenge to you for this episode. Get started figuring out your own preflop calling ranges with this very common situation. You've got 100 big blinds on the button versus a tight early position opener. We face this all the time. So what would you call with? Figure this out for yourself and let me know your answer via email. I'll respond with my own calling range here. Maybe we can learn a little something from each other. Now it's your turn to take action and do something positive for your poker game.
Now get it on.
Alrighty, so for a quick recap, I discussed why exploring your own preflop calling ranges is so important, and I showed you how I figure out my own using a very specific situation. First, I determine my 3-betting range, which incorporates value and semi-bluff 3-bets. Then I figure out the hands that just aren't good enough to call, and that leaves me with my calling range. If you're not already there, head on over to the show notes at www.smartpokerstudy.com/pod72 for everything mentioned today and to sign up for the weekly boost for poker strategy exclusives that will take your game up a notch. And if you're interested in purchasing or learning more about the Hand Reading Lab, visit www.splitsuit.com/HRL and use offer code SMART in lowercase to receive the full course. And as a special bonus just for you, Splitsuit is throwing in his popular video series called Playing 3-Bet Pots. And I'm also offering a bonus hand reading webinar on Saturday, July 9th at 10 a.m. Pacific for all who purchase the Hand Reading Lab using my offer code SMART. Just send me your purchase confirmation and you'll be enrolled. July 9th is just around the corner, so don't miss your chance. I hope to see you there. So thank you so much for listening today. I want your feedback, so hit me with it through the show notes, or you can also send an email to sky@smartpokerstudy.com, tweet me @smartpokerstudy, or post it in the Facebook group at smartpokerstudy.com/discuss. And please send me those questions, those leaks, those ideas for podcast topics through all the channels just mentioned. Alrighty, poker people, be sure to come back this Friday for another Q&A where I answer some of your insightful questions. And next week, in episode 74, I'll continue the Hand Reading Lab series with part 5, where I shall discuss the importance of making some assumptions and assigning your opponent a range preflop, then sticking with it through the entire hand, while you narrow it, of course. And word of mouth is the best advertising, so I thank you for sharing this show with other poker people. Your sharing and caring is what helps us grow, so tell a friend. Until next time, study smart, play much, and make your next session the best one yet. I'm